Okay, are we ready? Here we go.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
It is.
It's got better since it's the last one.
Well, I've been practicing a lot. we haven't podcasted in a while. I've just been playing xylophone.
Welcome, people. Scott and Jane show.
Yes, here we are again. Hello,
it's been
everyone.
A while. The sun is out, finally.
It is. I think it was, the sun wasn't out the last time we did
this. No, it really wasn't. Yeah. And the last one we did was music.
It was.
And we had a really good response. People were like, oh my God, you've reminded me of loads of stuff that I've forgotten about.
Yeah.
People were reminiscing.
They were.
Drinking whiskey.
They were. And I had lots of good conversations with people about, oh, why did you pick that? Or why didn't you pick this or that? So it was good. So I think today we'll kind of fit in with that.
Yeah. I also had the whole, oh, damn, I should have picked that.
Yeah. I think to be honest, we could have talked for hours. We could have just, that could just be our podcast.
People don't know the hours of conversation we have before this podcast.
Yeah, this, I'd like to say this is like a best of part of the conversation. It's more just a random slice. Because, you know, today's a good example. We talk for a while and go, oh, we should probably record this thing.
I love it.
And we'll keep talking.
So we've done books.
Yeah.
We've done music. And now we're on films.
Films.
Maybe we should do like color next time.
Color. What's your favorite color, Jane?
Green.
Oh, well, that, tick that box. We don't do that podcast.
That'll be a great podcast.
which shade of green, Jane?
Kelly, actually.
Kelly.
Kelly green.
Is that?
It's the real deep, dark.
Is that like British racing green?
A little bit lighter than that. It's usually on VWs that you'll see around. But it was created for Grace Kelly, in fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. You there learn you something every day.
I know.
Okay. But we're going to talk about movies today.
We are. And movies to me are, I love, still love going to the cinema. Got a little bit addicted to going to Dorothy Brown's a couple of years ago on my own. And I was going 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
The bank rang me up and said, you need to stop doing
that. Wow. I'm sure Dorothy Brown's didn't ring you up and say stop.
But I love the whole just going. It was a huge thing for me when I was little. My dad loves films. My parents love films. It was a Sunday afternoon thing, constantly going to the movies and watching, getting DVDs and movies out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was huge.
I think one thing I love about the going to the movies now, especially now, is you can't multitask at the cinema.
No.
Like you can't, it is just not a good look to have your phone out and
it's
be
really not
tweeting or, you know, because now if I sit, you know, even though I'm pretty addicted to Netflix, if I sit and watch a movie, I'm still doing something on my phone. There's probably a laptop there. But when you go to the cinema, you're just doing that.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. And yeah, I love going to the cinema on my own too.
I do. And some people still look at me and go, ooh, it's a bit weird. But actually more and more people are going, oh my God, so do I. You can eat what you want. You don't have to share it with anyone. You don't talk to anyone. Yeah. And you can actually go and see all those films that you don't naturally want to tell anyone that you're going to see. The breakup with Jennifer Aniston. I went on my own. Didn't
really
want to tell anyone. Well,
see, that's interesting, because if I wasn't going into the breakup with Jennifer Aniston, and I looked and I saw Jane sitting by herself, I'd be like, oh.
It's a bad night.
Is she in a tough place? Does she need a friend?
But there are some movies you don't want to tell anyone about. We'll talk about more about that later. But
yes.
There are some that you wouldn't freely admit at
no.
a cocktail party.
No, which is what we're going to do tonight. No, so we thought, you know, we could just sit and talk shit about movies for hours, but we thought let's sort of compartmentalize this. So we gave ourselves, as we like to do, a bit of a challenge, a few categories to go through. So we're going to talk about some different categories of film that connect to us. So I'm going to let Jane start us off with her first film she's going to talk about in the category of her choosing.
Category is a film that you've probably not seen, and I picked, and I never know how to say it, but it looks like Das Boot.
Mm-hmm.
Das Boot. It's a German film. I saw it a long time ago. It's about 3.5 hours long, so you might have to separate it. Basically, it's set in the Second World War, and it's from the German point of view on a submarine. So I'd say 95% of the film is on one submarine, so you can imagine how that feels.
Claustrophobic.
Yeah. And it's a lot of the men on this boat are 16, 17, and they're going to war, and it's terrifying. Wow. Have you seen it?
I have not. It's been on my must-see list for a long time.
It's a beautiful film, and there's a guy in it. The main guy is actually a really famous guy, but I can never remember his name. Carl something. He's in lots of, I think he's been in a James Bond film. Anyway, But
he was in King Kong as well.
Well done. Thank you. It's long. You should persevere. You might have to do it over two nights. But the intensity of how terrifying it is being stuck on this boat, and mm-hmm. it's hot and sweaty, and they smell, and they're all missing their homes, and the mm-hmm. fact that it's from the German side mm-hmm. point of view, and there's a point in it where they come across other English naval
yep.
men. And there's a point in the film where they look at each other and they're just men, yeah. scared men on yeah. a boat, and they want to go home. And it's breaking up.
Wow.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of those films that it's even though I haven't seen it, it's totally iconic for being, you know, a film about war but from a different point of view.
Yeah.
Because I think we see so many films about war that are from a very
Quite American, often. Yeah. But no, it's amazing, and it's just gone onto Netflix.
Yes, I did see that as well. There you go. I know. Even though I haven't seen this film, I know an interesting bit of trivia about Das Boot.
Ooh.
The submarine from Das Boot is the same submarine at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
OMG.
Yep. See.
Not just a pretty face.
No. So you've learned so far, listeners. You've learned about the submarine in Das Boot, and what shade of green Kelly is.
Go forth and watch.
That's right. Okay, so
over to you.
My pick for a film that you probably haven't seen is a very peculiar film called Frank. Frank. Frank is about a musical performer who wears a large cartoon helmet.
Oh, it's about Frank Sidebottom.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of vaguely about the real person. You can explain that.
Yeah.
But it stars Michael Fassbender as this very odd musician who wears a cartoon head over his own head that he never, ever takes off. At the start of the film opens with the band all going to this, I think they're the main character guy is another, I'm explaining this really badly.
I know.
The keyboard player from their band tries to drown himself in the sea, and walking past is another musician who happens to be a keyboard player. And as this first keyboard player is trying to drown himself in the sea, the rest of the band says, "Hey, do you play music? Do you want to join our band?" And then it becomes the story of this guy joining their crazy artistic rock band and then going off into the onto a farm in Ireland to make an album, living for like a year. And it's just utterly bizarre, but totally beautiful and inspiring.
And is that on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
It's because Frank Sidebottom was a character from the kind of the late 80s, early 90s in the Manchester indie scene. So he was always on music shows, and he wore this big cardboard head.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure about much more of it, but he was a proper Mancunian.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have been from Salford, which is a tiny little place just outside mm-hmm. of Manchester. Mm-hmm. And very bizarre.
Yeah.
So I will have to look at
that. Yeah, it's based upon that and sort of extrapolated to modern times. So instead of being on television there, they're all headed to South by Southwest and stuff. So.
Mm.
But it's very well done. Very, very good music and a really interesting insight into the weird indie rock scene. But definitely worth a look. Anyways, next category.
Guilty pleasure. Point Break.
Wow.
I bet loads of people are nodding there.
Yeah.
I've seen it so many times. I was obsessed with Keanu Reeves when I was about 12. Boys and girls alike were obsessed with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
And I watched it again probably about a year ago and was like, this is such an amazing film.
It is so good.
Have
you seen the remake of it?
I've refused.
I as well refuse to
watch
see
the
that.
Remake. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no, you can't take away how goofy he is and how amazingly beautiful Patrick Swayze was.
Yeah.
So, amazing. And I wanted to be her. So yeah, much.
I have a really interesting Point Break story. Well, I find it interesting.
Are you in it?
I am in Point Break. No, many years ago, I was in Hawaii and I decided I wanted to learn to surf. So I go down to the beach and I take like a surfing lesson, and I learned to surf for the day. And I'm pretty terrible, but you know, I come back to the youth hostel at the end of the night, going, "Yeah, I've learned to surf. This is amazing. This has totally changed my life." And I go into the TV room, And as I walk in, the opening scene of Point Break starts on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is a sign. This is a sign from the movie gods that I'm meant to be a surfer. So I sit there and I'm like watching it and I'm just like, I'm connecting to it in this whole new way because I'm a surfer now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then it's like three quarters of the way through, like almost at the big climactic end. And someone walks in the TV room and they go, oh, Point Break again? They show this every single night in this hostel.
Ah,
I'm just like, oh,
got it.
Got it.
I'll go back to my normal job.
Yeah, and then years later, I ended up working for a ski magazine, and there's a surfing magazine. Surfer magazine was based in the same building. So the most quoted film ever, all time, within that building was Point Break.
Oh, yeah, I know the whole thing. I can quote the whole film.
It's great.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to do as like a radio play, or like a live read of Point Break.
Yeah, quarterback punk. Pappas, Angelo Pappas. I'll stop now.
Yes, Gary Busey. Okay, my guilty pleasure, which is again, I think, will be reasonably connect to other people, is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's not guilty. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think some people go? Ooh.
I think it depends how old you are.
Yeah.
Some people might not connect to it. I'm not sure, but I saw that movie when I was a kid, and really really loved it. And to me, that was like the paradigm of what a good day should be.
Yeah.
And sort of how cool people are supposed to act.
Because what did... I know he's done stuff after, but he never really had a... He never really had another hit or another... He didn't climb the ladder, really, did
he? No, not really. I think you sort of get... it was such an iconic role that you can't sort of get beyond that. You just end up doing the same thing over and over again.
So good, though.
Charlie Sheen's in that at the very end.
Oh, he is, with his sister.
Yes.
He meets his sister at the police station.
Yeah, and apparently he'd like to for Charlie Sheen to look like he'd done drugs, he stayed up for 4 days straight.
Oh my good lord.
Yeah, method acting.
The start of something.
Yeah.
I've got Never Guess That I Love.
Yep.
And I've got 101 Dalmatians.
Oh.
Disney, the original.
Yeah.
It's you can't get it anymore. They re-release it every 25 years.
What?
And they re-released it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So the DVD shop here bought a copy, and I hired it for like 3 months. And they actually said when I hired it, you have to bring this back because we can't get another copy of it.
Wow.
You have to wait. You can get it on Blu-ray, like you can buy it. But the original, it's beautiful. It's that real old school Disney.
Yeah.
The music in it's amazing. It's all jazz. The drawings in it are amazing. The story's amazing. Yeah. And I've literally must have watched it 100 times.
Those
it's
classic
so
Disney
good.
Disney films are amazing. Yeah. The animated ones. I read a thing recently how they when they were making 101 Dalmatians and Fantasia and all that, that the acetate that they were drawing the cells, animation cells on, was so expensive for them at the time in the 30s and 40s that after they filmed 101 Dalmatians, whatever, they would take all of the frames and wash them.
Oh my God.
And wash them off and then reuse them for like the Jungle Book or whatever.
Yeah.
So all that cinema history has literally been washed away.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great film though.
That is such a good film.
I haven't seen any of the remakes because they did one.
They did. They did another. They did 102 Dalmatians. Who sat around a table and went, what do we call it,
what
guys?
What are we thinking?
Oh, let's just add another one in.
Yeah.
Why not? But it's not as good. And the remake, the real new ones, they're just not, not good.
I remember really liking Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yeah. All that kind of era of Disney is really good.
Did you? I remember also seeing The Song of the South in the cinema.
Oh, I've not seen that.
That is a Disney film. That I don't think any... I think it's gone now. I think it's literally been erased from existence because it was kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where there was part animation and part live action. But it was really, really racist. Like, really racist.
Geez.
It was all about, like, slaves in the southern U.S. And they were, like, talking to flying animated birds and stuff like that. So it was that very kind of, like... Amos and Andy.
Yeah.
Like, really not PC at all.
No.
So, I remember seeing that in the cinema and being kind of weirded out
they've
by it.
They've now swept it into some dusty corner.
Yeah, it doesn't... They've disavowed any knowledge of that whatsoever.
Oh,
okay, so... You'd be surprised that I like. I was looking at like my list of films that, you know, I was going through like IMDb lists and Netflix lists, and I came upon this film and I remembered, oh yeah, I really like this, and this will probably surprise people. It's a Heath Ledger film called 10 Things I Hate About You.
Ah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I can't really remember much about it.
Well, it's actually a modern retelling of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew.
Ah.
Which I really enjoy when they do that. Like Clueless.
Yeah.
That is also, I can't remember which.
Most films are based on Shakespeare.
Yeah. The good ones are.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like a really cheesy high school film about, you know, new boy comes to school and falls in love with a girl and all this sort of stuff. But I just thought it was really cleverly put together. And when it stuck to the Shakespearean convention of it all. And I remember seeing it at the time. And then kind of half forgetting about it, and then seeing it again recently on TV or something.
Is that an early 2000s?
I think so. 90, yeah. I think so. It was very young.
And it's got Julia Stiles in it.
That's the one.
Yes.
That's the one.
It used to really annoy me.
Really?
I liked Heath, though.
Yeah.
Another good Heath. Have you seen Big Hands?
No.
So Big Hands is probably his first film.
Uh-huh.
And it's also got Rose McGowan in
it,
who I never realized was Australian. It's an Australian film.
She used to go out with Marilyn Manson, didn't she?
No, not Rose McGowan. I'm totally lying. Rose, I've totally got the wrong one. I can't remember her name. Anyway, it's set in Sydney.
Yeah.
Back in kind of mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
And it's got Brian Brown in it.
Oh, yes.
And
of Cocktail Fame.
Brilliant. Like, he's the head kind of criminal of the town. And he's got all his, as always, stupid mob around him.
Yeah.
And Heath gets embroiled in some job gone wrong.
Ah.
And it's really, really amazing.
Ah,
and he's really, really good in it. But Brian Brown's hysterical.
Big Hands, did you say?
Big Hands.
Big Hands.
Yeah.
He was also, Heath Ledger was also really good in Ned Kelly.
Oh, I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, that's a pretty tried and true Australian story, but really well done and very tragic and quite beautiful. And Naomi Watts is in that. She's really good in that.
Mm.
Yeah. And Orlando Bloom.
Orlando.
I just like saying Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom.
Maybe it's just me. Okay.
Totally underrated.
Yeah.
I've put, and I don't even know if this is true, but I often say this to the film to people and they go, meh, not seen it. Or meh. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
It's so beautiful. It's all handmade puppets, just so amazing. And Fantastic Mr. Fox is probably one of my favorite Roald Dahl books.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a song about the three Boogie Bunce and Bean, the three men who are the baddies.
Yeah.
And the song's just so the way it should have been.
Right.
And it just reminds me of being at school. But it's just very clever. George Clooney, who's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's a very clever children's adult film.
See, I love Wes Anderson films, but that is the one I haven't seen.
It's so good. Like, and it is one of those films that's for kids or adults.
Right.
There's lots of adult references in
it. Uh-huh.
It's just so good. So good.
I'll have to check it out.
And beautifully made.
Huh.
And everything.
Is it like claymation or like...
No, it's all
drawing?
All kind of...
Puppets.
Yeah, and like every little, you can watch the making of it at the end, and they show that every little, they wanted the fur on all the animals to move naturally, so they filmed literally somebody moving fur, each piece fur, and filming it. So it took forever.
Wow.
But they've made they did explosions in it, and they're all made out of cotton wool.
Oh,
but
awesome.
It's so lovely. And it's brilliant, and you're just like, yeah, this is such a good film.
Is it kind of in the same universe as like Wallace and Gromit, like the Aardman stuff?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just cleverer. It's just really, really clever.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think is it tied into that very quirky Wes Anderson sense of
completely.
Humor?
Yeah. But there's just not... it's not, you know, some Wes Anderson, you go, I love it, but some of it's a bit like, what?
Yeah.
There's not really much of that, because it follows the general thread of the story.
Yeah.
But there's just some very clever stuff in it. Yeah. And George Clooney's just brilliant.
Cool.
Really good.
Because obviously he's just a voice, and he's not actually in
but
it.
You think, because at first you think, George Clooney, but he just gets him. Because and his wife, who's Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
You know, he comes across as this, like, I'm totally the man. And she goes, no, you're not. And he's like, no, really, I'm not at all. My wife is, like, the captain.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll check that out for sure. Yeah. That sounds great. Just getting my list. So my underrated film, a very different film to what Fantastic Mr. Fox, that's for sure. And I think it's underrated because it's a sequel. And I think many sequels get underrated just because they are sequels. So I'm going to go with Aliens.
Ooh.
The second Alien
good
film.
Good choice.
Yeah. I think, I'm sure many people have seen it. I'm sure you've seen it, Jane.
It's very good.
Very good. So sequel to the 1979-80 Ridley Scott film with Sigourney Weaver. But this time, instead of one alien running around a spaceship trying to kill a bunch of people, it's a bunch of guys and girls in a spaceship go and try and kill a bunch of aliens. And it's to follow in the footsteps of such a classic film was always going to be really challenging. So they went a completely different direction and just made this amazing kick-ass action movie. And I think it's become the prototype for what a modern action adventure film should be.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Very scary.
Very scary.
And very, I think, kind of ahead of its time character-wise and stuff. Because that was, you know, Sigourney Weaver was, you know, cast as this very super strong, capable woman. Like, she wasn't the damsel in distress. She was out there to kick ass, which I think was great. It was a very good film.
Now I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
Another second good sequel that I think is, well, we watched Terminator the other night,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Is brilliant.
It's so good. Yeah.
And why on Netflix have they only got 1 and 3?
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm going to write a strongly worded email.
I had a similar issue about sequels and why isn't one on the other for Netflix. Just this afternoon, I started watching Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Oh my God. Mic drop.
Yeah. It's so good. So good. So ridiculously shit. It's good. But Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, not on Netflix.
Oh man. And those two movies, I know all the words to both of them.
Really?
Yeah. I had every single Keanu Reeves film he ever made.
Wow, that could be the through line of our podcast today. It's just Keanu Reeves films. The Matrix? Did you like The Matrix?
Yeah. And I only actually watched the whole series a couple of months ago. Sat and watched them one after the other.
Yeah. I've the first one was great. The second one was pretty good. The third one was a bit weird.
Still have no idea what's going on.
No.
I think I'm like, so you know that, you know where they got? And I'm like, nah, don't, no.
I read a thing that he's considering, or they're talking about making a fourth Matrix film.
It was just too confusing for my small brain.
Maybe they could just, you know, tidy up some loose ends, but they are making a third Bill and Ted's currently.
Oh, Lord. With the original characters.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. I mean, Alex Winter, who's...
Is he still
is
alive?
Is he Bill or is he Ted?
I can't remember.
I can't remember, but he hasn't done much since then.
No.
So surely he's like every day phoning Keanu Reeves like, hey man, want to make a movie? We should do it. We should totally do Bill and Ted's 3. It'd be awesome.
Wild Stallion!
I know. A friend of mine, every now and again, will just pull out a station. Station.
Bill S. Preston Esquire. Ted Theodore Logan. Oh, Lord.
Send him besides school football rules.
It just transports me back to being 13.
Yeah.
And sitting around watching those two films.
Was Bill and Ted's before or after Wayne's World? I couldn't remember.
I think it's after.
Is it after? Did you connect to Wayne's World?
Not really.
Right.
No.
I think I really liked Wayne's World because it was, although not a Canadian film, there's lots of Canadian stuff in there.
It was in the ether of my world, but it wasn't really in there. No.
It's funny how... Yeah, it was a weird
film. It was like Beavis and Butthead, though. It just annoyed me.
Nah.
And people used to stay up all night watching it, and I'm like, don't get it.
No, I didn't really. Didn't do it for me at all.
Didn't resonate.
No, didn't connect with that. All right. What's next?
The last question was a film that changed my life, which I really, really stumped me.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to come up with something really deep.
I know.
And originally, the first film I thought of, which is not going to be the one that I choose, was Schindler's List. Like, mm-hmm. I literally wept. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't speak afterwards. I saw it when I was young, because it came out when I was probably at school.
Yeah.
And it completely, like, I'd never, that whole part of history was never in my world. You know, I was wandering along in my teenage years.
Yeah.
Life's pretty good. And then all of a sudden, where did the Holocaust come from? Like, what? Why has nobody told me about this before?
Yeah.
So it kind of knocked me out. But my film that I'll choose, and it's not deep and meaningful, but it's Jaws. It's on my top five. It reminds me of my dad because we watched it so much. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a million times. It had the first, what's it when they do, is it the rack focus? When they pull away, it's the first time they used it.
Yeah, a dolly zoom.
So Roy Schneider is sat on the beach and it goes, and it pulls back and it's amazing. And you just go, whoa, what was that? Yeah. And it's the first time they used it. And I was in love with
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes, name completely went out of my. Who's apparently not a very nice man in real life.
Richard, if you're listening.
Yeah, Rich.
Give us a call.
Redeem yourself.
Yeah.
It was just awesome and scary ass.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I just every time I watch it, just reminds me of watching it on a Sunday with my dad. And my dad just loves it.
To me, it's an all-time classic as well. It's on my top 5 or 10 list as well. And I think from, you know, there's so many, it's an amazing story. It's an amazingly simple story.
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying to be overly complicated. Because if you think about the story of it, it's really, really basic.
But if you watch it again as an adult, there's a scene in there where they're all, you know, they're quite drunk and they start singing.
Yeah.
And the other guy, and I've forgotten everyone's names in it, the captain, he talks about the boat that he was on when everyone got eaten.
Yeah.
You don't totally realize what that story is about until you're older. And I actually read the book that describes when all the men went to sea and none of them came back.
Yeah.
And it is the most terrifying book of history ever. So there's loads of little other stories in that film that you don't realize till you're older that you go, oh my God, he's talking about that part of history.
Yeah. And it's there's so much to it, and there's so much. To me, it's the best example ever of any film I can think of where the challenges of making it actually made the film better. Because the reason why the shark is hardly in it is because the shark didn't work. Like, they had this like mechanical shark that looked stupid and it was fake.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't have it in the film. So they edited around it, and it actually made it so much scarier because you don't ever actually see this shark.
And still gives me the shivers when I go in the water.
Yeah.
Because you still go.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. they did a thing as well. To make the shark look massive compared to when Richard Dreyfuss is in like the cage in the water, they filmed it in Australia, and they got like midgets to go into a little tiny shark cage, and then they had like normal sized sharks go past them, but it messed with the scale. So you thought, oh my God, this shark's massive. Like 50 feet long, but it's just, you know, like the little guy from Game of Thrones in a cage.
Who's in every film in the world.
He is.
Interesting.
Because that was your, you know, film that changed your life.
Yeah.
The film that changed my life is actually quite closely related to that film. As I was planning on going something really deep and hipster and introspective and, you know, some French film that no one's ever heard of. But then I really thought about, like, what if I could pick one film that really changed everything for me, that would have to be Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. It holds up so well.
It really does.
It was on TV the other night, and I flipped past it and just picked it up about 3/4 of the way through, and instantly I was right back in it.
Yeah.
And I could literally recite that whole film. I've seen it so many times, and it's just it just transports you away in this amazing kind of to this amazing place, and it's just done so well.
Are they doing any more of those? Is there talk of?
There's talk of, which scares me. Because the last one, the Crystal Skull.
I've not seen it.
Don't see it.
No.
Don't see it. I saw it and I was just, I wept.
Why did you make this?
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Actually, if you're going to see, don't see that. But see, there's another film. It's a documentary and also on Netflix right now. And it's about these kids who remade Raiders of the Lost Ark shot for shot. They started it in the 80s when it came out, and it would take them all summer, and they'd finish like half the film. And then the next summer, they'd pick up again. So over the course of making this film, the actors actually grew up because they were little kids. So, you know, you get to see Indiana Jones grow up over the course of the film. And they recreated every shot of it exactly as it was on the screen.
And where can we find this?
It is on Netflix.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's amazing because it's like they you know, there's the big barroom fight in Raiders and the whole building catches on fire. Well, they filmed that in their basement and just lit their parents' basement on fire. And just, you know, they'd go running around in, like, op shop clothes and have a fight. Then they'd cut the scene. Then they get the fire extinguisher out and try and put their parents' house from on fire.
Awesome.
And so they made film.
Not awesome.
They didn't burn the house down
in fire.
So they made the film. And the one scene that they couldn't film was the flying wing. You know, the big fight by the plane. So they decided 20 years later, let's do this. Let's actually make the flying wing so that as adults, they go and finish the film.
Oh, I need to find that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I can't remember what it's called, but you'll find it on Netflix.
Oh my goodness.
It's absolutely great.
So last off, bonus round.
Oh, here we go.
Two films right now that people need to just go and rent.
People that need to go and rent. There's one film that I was going to try and include on my list. But I didn't have space for it. And it's a film called Hardcore Logo.
Never heard of it. I'm writing it down.
Yeah. It's a Canadian film about a rock band, a punk rock band. It's a fictional film about they're all sort of 40, done pretty much retired from music, and they decide to do one more tour across Canada to try and see if they'll actually make it. And it sounds kind of Spinal Tappy, but it's much more serious and dark. And it's a really interesting, I'd say, coming-of-age film, but most of the time we talk about coming-of-age films is like teenager to adult. This is like adult to grown-up. So it's a very well-done film. So called Hardcore Logo. You might struggle to find it, but I'm sure it's online somewhere.
Okay. One more?
Oh, you go. You choose one.
High Fidelity. Oh, yeah. I love it. Everyone loves it, but I love it. It's so good, and it's probably the best representation of a relationship out there. Like, you have this fantasy about your partner, and then the fantasy disappears, and then you look for another fantasy. Yep. But that fantasy always becomes the non-fantasy eventually. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I mean, your new girlfriend is all clean and cozy and lovely, but eventually she or he has old pants that you see hanging up.
Yeah.
And then people have affairs because they're looking for the fantasy, but that fantasy still has old pants that they hang up somewhere.
Oh, it's a great
so
film.
Good.
Great
and
film.
The music's amazing, too.
Great book, too.
And it's got Jack Black in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who has my favorite fake band names ever in that book? Like, was it Kathleen Turner Overdrive? No, that's a great one. Okay, my second, go see it right now if you haven't seen it. You know, I was almost going to say this as the one that changed my life, but it's actually relatively recent, which is Inception.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's one of those films where as soon as I finished watching it in the cinema, I literally wanted to go out and watch it again.
It's quite long, eh?
It is quite long.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very, and it's very, very clever and very, very well thought.
Yeah.
Well thought through. Christopher Nolan is probably my favorite filmmaker.
Yeah.
If you've already seen Inception, you're going, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever. Make sure you see Memento.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
So good.
Brilliant film. Brilliant film.
We
so
could
good.
Be here all day.
We could be. We could be. Yeah. Both those films are great. I'll tell one story about Memento or Inception. That big brrrr sound that's everywhere is actually, because what's the name of the French singer who sings the song in that film? People are yelling at their stereo right now as I'm saying this. But there's a song they listen to which brings them out of being asleep.
Yeah.
And that brrrr sound is that song slowed down to like 1/30th speed.
You know stuff.
I know stupid stuff. I'm not really sure of my own phone number, but I know that. Okay, Jane, what's your...
My last one is real deep. It's Nacho Libre.
Oh. Nacho.
Jack Black, I've seen it a million times. If you're having a bad day, put that film on.
Yeah.
And it's the most stupid, lovely, hilarious film ever. It's so amazing. And I gave it to my sister to watch, and she went, I don't want to watch that. Like, and it was literally peed her pants.
It is so good.
It's so stupid and so amazing. And he's so stupid in it.
It's just
brilliant.
It's so over the top. Like, it just, I just have, you know, just close your eyes and imagine him doing deep lunges in children's pants.
That sounds weird.
That sounds really weird. If you haven't seen that,
it all makes sense. But it's amazing and just so wonderful. So go and see it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just laughing about it now.
Yeah.
Dost, we want to share some Dost. He's got Dost, the worst Dost. Accent.
I need to borrow some stretchy pants.
I love it. It's on my top five.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. We should have Mark the Hooligan.
Mark
is cool, and talk about his.
We should.
His favorite.
Yeah.
Whether Nacho Libre.
He's a luchador.
A luchador.
Yeah.
He's our local professional wrestler. Yes, for those of you outside of the Queenstown metropolitan area.
Go.
Go
rent.
Yes, Nacho Libre. It's amazing. So good. Same guys did House of Rock, or School of Rock.
School of Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is another good one.
Which is also good.
Also fun. Cool.
Awesome.
Right. Well, we've talked about some movies.
We have.
Yeah.
Gonna go and watch some movies now.
Yeah, we should. So, as always, if you completely disagree with what we have to say, let us know.
We don't care.
We care.
We do.
Well, not a lot, but
a little
just
bit.
A little bit. We're of course gonna disagree with everything, but yeah, you know, let us know what movies you like, didn't like, what you think we should see.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Love it.
And of course, you know, if you want us to talk about other stuff or want to talk to us.
Come join us.
We can pull up another chair. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Oh, hold on. I got to get the... time for the...
So professional.
The theme tune is different. It goes the other way. So, or the exit theme tune.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.